Let's turn to God's Word this tonight to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22, and afterward we'll read a few verses from 2 Peter chapter 2. But first we'll read Numbers chapter 22, and we'll read the first 35 verses of this chapter. This is the account of that wicked prophet Balaam receiving word from the messengers of Balak to come and to curse Israel. We begin reading Numbers chapter 22, verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes rose up, the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, Thus saith Balak the king of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor. And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And now begins the text, verses 22 through 35. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive." And Balaam said unto the Lord, "I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again." And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shalt thou speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And now let's turn and read a few passages from 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Just simply two verses from this chapter, verses 15 and 16, but these give us the interpretation of the account that we read in Numbers chapter 22. And you see at the beginning of 2 Peter chapter 2 that this is a chapter about the false prophets who will come in among the people. As verse 1 says, "Even that shall there be false teachers among you, privily bringing in damnable heresies." And then jumping ahead, verse 13, "These shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime." And now those wicked prophets and those false teachers who will arise in the latter days are now very similar to that wicked prophet Balaam of old. And let's read what God's word has to say of this Balaam. 2 Peter 2, verses 15 and 16, "Which have forsaken the right way," that is, all these false prophets, and are gone astray, "following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Thus far, we read God's word, and God bless the reading of his scriptures to our hearts. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, there's a matter that I want to address right away before we get to the matter of Balaam making his way to see Balak, king of Moab. There's one matter we need to understand, and that's the apparent contradiction of God telling Balaam to go, and then God's anger is kindled against Balaam because he went. Perhaps you noticed that when we read through Numbers chapter 22 in verse 20. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And then verse 21, Balaam got up in the morning, and he went with the princes of Moab. And now verse 22, and God's anger was kindled because he went with them. So that on the one hand, God said, rise up and go with them. And then on the other hand, God is angry with him when he does go. Does that mean that God is confused? And is God fair to be angry with Balaam when Balaam is only doing that which God said that Balaam could do? Well, the way to understand this is the same way that we understand the passage in Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, we read that God makes known his power and his glory and his Godhead in all of the creation. And we read there of the wicked and the unrighteous who don't praise God. And they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. And they worship the creature more than the creator. And Romans chapter 1 verse 24 says that God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. God gives the wicked over to uncleanness. Does that mean that God gives his stamp of approval upon their wickedness and their uncleanness because God gives them over to it? Not at all. God is not pleased with them. God gives them over to their sins. And this is the very judgment of God for their sins. They refuse to worship and glorify God the Creator, and as punishment, God gives them over to those sins, to more sin. And God is angry with them for those sins, and God gives them over to sin in such a way that they desire that sin. And God holds them accountable for that sin. And that's what we have here in Numbers chapter 22. Yes, God says to Balaam, rise up and go with them. But note, God does not say, which would be a contradiction, God originally saying, do not curse them, they are blessed. If God would now say, now you may go and curse them, then that would be a contradiction. But God does not say that. He simply says, you may go with them. But nonetheless, God knows the wickedness of Balaam, his evil motivations, wanting more money and more prestige among men. And just as soon as God then gives Balaam over to his sin, then we read that God's anger was kindled because he went. God never changes his mind. God's anger always hates sin and hates the evildoer. But God gives Balaam over to his sin. Balaam walks in that sin, and God is angry with him for that sin. And now we come to this matter of Balaam and his donkey on his way to go see King Balak. Now, when we read this passage of the Bible and we read what happened to Balaam and his donkey, What is the most striking feature of this passage? For you children and for you children listening at home, when we read Numbers chapter 22, what is the most striking feature of this passage? And perhaps many of you, those of you who are younger, those of us who are older, some of us have answered that question. Probably the most striking feature of this passage is that a donkey speaks. Donkeys don't usually speak. That's not the natural course of things. And indeed, that is quite striking. And there's only one other account in Scripture of a creature, of an animal speaking. That was the serpent speaking to Eve in the garden. But that God works a miracle and gives a donkey to speak like a man, that is striking, but that is by far and away not the main focus of our attention when we look at this text. The most striking feature of this text is this, that Balaam is so blind. Not only is he so blind that he is unable to see that angel of Jehovah standing in the way before them, but that's only a picture that Balaam is so blind that he doesn't even see his own sin and his own wickedness. And God uses the donkey to humble this world-famous prophet and to expose him in his sin. So I call your attention to this text under the theme, Humbled by a Donkey. Let's notice first the madness of Balaam, secondly, the judgment of Jehovah, and finally, the power of God displayed, humbled by a donkey. And now the key to understanding this passage in Numbers chapter 22 is that we compare Scripture with Scripture. And in the New Testament, we read that from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, we read that Balaam was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. And there in 2 Peter 2, verse 16, we read that Balaam had iniquity. We read that Balaam was rebuked because of that iniquity. And we read of how that donkey speaking in a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Well, let's examine the history, which will underscore for us the wickedness and the madness of this Balaam. So that according to Numbers chapter 22, the first time Balaam says to these messengers of Balak, the first time Balaam says, no, I will not go with you. The second time, however, Balaam goes with them. He wakes up in the morning, he goes with the princes to meet King Balak. And this tells us that Balaam, he loves the wages of unrighteousness. His heart is not right before God. And the Bible says that God is not happy that Balaam goes. God's anger is kindled against him. Verse 22 tells us that the angel of Jehovah stood in the way for an adversary against him. And that angel of the Lord had his sword drawn, ready to strike and ready to kill. The donkey on which Balaam is riding, the donkey sees that angel, but Balaam is blind to see that angel. And at first, the angel stands out in the open. And there's room for that donkey to avoid the angel. So the donkey goes out of the way, veers off of the path, and goes into the field, which happens to be a field of grapes, a vineyard. And Balaam doesn't like that. And in verse 22, Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But now the donkey is going through a path in the vineyard. It was a path that was plenty wide, but there was a wall on either side. And there the angel stands again. And so the donkey goes close against the wall to avoid the angel that was standing right in the middle of the path, and in so doing, coming so close to the wall, crushes the leg and the foot of Balaam against the wall. And Balaam doesn't like that, and he smites the donkey again. And now the donkey continues down that vineyard path, but now that path becomes very narrow. So narrow that there is only room for one person to pass through. And there that angel stands again with his sword drawn. The donkey cannot continue to go forward. The donkey can hardly go backward because Balaam is prodding him on to go forward. And so the donkey is left with no other choice than its legs give way and it plops down to the ground, refusing to go an inch further. And it's at this point that Balaam becomes furious. The first two times all the Bible says is that Balaam smote the ass, but now Balaam has had enough. Now he is in a rage. Now he is fit to be tied. And in verse 27, Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And now we remember what we read from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, to understand something of the demeanor of Balaam. 2 Peter 2, verse 16, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Balaam is in a state of madness. And that word madness means not to be in one's right mind. And what you have here then is a picture of a madman, a spiritual madman. His eyes are full of hatred and anger, and he beats his donkey for not obeying him and not taking him where he wants to go. Balaam shows himself to be altogether unreasonable and almost insane. And then God gives that donkey to speak. Verse 28. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. This is a miracle. This is a wonder. This isn't the main point of the passage, but this is remarkable nonetheless. Because animals don't speak like we do. But now this donkey does. How is it possible? Only by a miracle. No, the Lord opened the mouth of that donkey. And what does the donkey say? Why have you hidden me? What have I done unto you? And Balaam is in such a state of madness. His anger and his foolishness has risen to such a degree that he doesn't show any surprise that his donkey now speaks back to him. I suppose any reasonable man, after having a donkey speak to him, would at least step back and consider the situation and say, something is not right here. Something very unusual is taking place here. But not for Balaam. This doesn't faze him. But instead, he, consumed by his madness and his sin, he speaks back to the donkey. The donkey, and he says, why have I hidden you? Because you've made a fool of me. And if I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you. The donkey responds and speaks very plainly back to Balaam. I've always been your donkey. Have I ever behaved myself like this before? And you see what's going on here, that this donkey is being the voice of reason. The donkey is bringing this supposedly wise man Balaam to his senses. Balaam, have I ever behaved myself like this before? And therefore implying, and don't you think there's a reason why I'm behaving myself like this? And that's when God opens Balaam's eyes And Balaam sees that angel standing in the way. Now, what does this all mean? And how is the madness of Balaam underscored for us? Well, this madness of Balaam as he hits his donkey is not only a description of what kind of a man this is physically, but this is a description of what kind of a man he is spiritually. He is a spiritual madman. He does not think and act and behave himself in a godly, spiritual way. He doesn't love the things of God. He only loves the things of this world. His madness and iniquity is his willingness to go so far even as to curse God's people, something that God said, "My people cannot be cursed." But Balaam is willing to go against the very word of God. His madness is evident also in that he is a lover of unrighteousness. This is what motivated him to go along with these princes of Midian, to go see Balak. 2 Peter 2 verse 15 tells us that Balaam, the son of Bozor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, he's a greedy man, and he's willing to attain those riches by any means necessary, by wicked means, so that this wicked prophet is thinking that the king of Moab is willing to give me money and power. He's willing to give me honor and prestige. Well, that's what I love. That's what I desire. He wants me to curse Israel. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'm willing to curse the people of God. And even though God told me that they are a blessed people, I don't care, because I love the wages of unrighteousness. And this iniquity and madness of Balaam is also underscored for us this way, in that he supposes that God himself has given him consent to go and curse Israel. Now, Balaam doesn't say it in so many words, but he tells these princes earlier, "Stay here and let me find out what God wants me to do." And then the fact that Balaam goes along with them the next morning, that is his testimony to those princes that, yes, God has given me leave to go along with you and to do what you want me to do. And I say, this is madness. This is iniquity on the part of Balaam to suppose that God has given Balaam his stamp of approval to go out and to curse Israel, and that God would be the one ultimately to express and to speak those words of curse upon his own people. And what does this all come down to? All of this madness and this ungodliness and wickedness on the part of Balaam, his iniquity and madness, is the great pride of Balaam. He is a very proud man. He is a man who thinks that he's quite something, that the mighty king of Moab has called upon me to do some of his official business, that the king of Moab will hold nothing back from me, but will promote me and give me so many honors and so many riches. And Balaam is full of himself. He's full of pride, full of such a high opinion of himself and his own abilities. And all this is the spiritual madness and the iniquity and the wickedness of Balaam. The Lord already told him the first time the messengers came to him in verse 12, "Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." But now Balaam goes with these messengers of Balak with the express purpose of doing that which God said could not happen. God says, "They shall not be cursed." And we see Balaam, who himself is now rushing headlong into destruction, and he doesn't even see it, doesn't even realize it. He's so deluded with his own love of money and these wages of unrighteousness that he is willing to do that which God himself said cannot and will not happen. Balaam is a blind fool, full of iniquity, full of madness. And God humbles Balaam. And God chooses to humble Balaam through the words of the donkey. And again, this isn't the most striking feature of this history, that a donkey speaks to Balaam and that God works that miracle. God can make a donkey talk. But what's striking is that Balaam is so blinded by his sin that a donkey must be the one to speak some sense into him. And the donkey's speech serves to rebuke Balaam. That's what we read in the New Testament, 2 Peter 2, verse 16. But Balaam was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. To rebuke is to point out one's error. To rebuke is to give one a strong word of caution and of warning. And God uses this proverbial stupid donkey. Not a wise owl, but a donkey of all creatures to cause Balaam to understand his own foolishness. And what does the donkey say unto him? Why are you hitting me? I've been your donkey for so long. Have I ever behaved myself like this before? And that donkey was saying to Balaam, Balaam, don't you think there's a reason why I won't go any further? Don't you think there's a reason why I won't budge? The donkey can see the destruction that is right in front of him. But Balaam, in his madness and iniquity, is blind to it all. And here you have this great man, Balaam. People regard him as a great man, as a man who has the power to bless, as a man who has the power to curse people. And yet, when a simple donkey makes a fool out of him, this great man, Balaam, is reduced to beating this donkey with a stick and uttering these empty threats, all of which goes to show that Balaam is exposed here for what kind of a man he really is, a weak, powerless, vain man. And not only that, but here that this world-famous prophet is so blind, who supposedly has the insight to know so many things, and yet he cannot even see what the donkey sees before it. Balaam is blind to it all. And Balaam's actions against his donkey even serve as an indictment against him. Balaam, he says, if only I had a sword in my hand, and he threatened that donkey with death for being disobedient unto him in pursuing Balaam's own wicked interests. But now when you think about it, if Balaam thought that this otherwise very obedient donkey that he had all of his life, this donkey who was very obedient to him, if this otherwise obedient donkey deserved death for its apparent perverseness and disregard for following his commandment, how much more does not Balaam deserve death for his own purposes and for his own wicked pursuit of the wages of unrighteousness? After all, the donkey disobeyed him out of obedience to a higher power. But now, this man, Balaam, stands condemned out of his own mouth for his own disobedient, really admitting that he himself deserves death for disobeying the command of God. This is Balaam's madness. This is his iniquity. And the Lord uses the donkey to humble him and to expose him in his foolishness. This is the judgment of Jehovah God. And the judgment of God falls upon all those who behave themselves so perversely and so foolishly. The judgment of God is personified in this angel who stands in the way. And note with me two things about this angel. In the first place, it stands as an adversary. That's what verse 22 of Numbers 22 says. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. An adversary is an opponent. An adversary is someone who is against you and prepared to fight against you and is prepared to do what it takes to overcome you. So that in the first place, this angel is an adversary, but then secondly, this angel stands with his sword drawn. This angel means business. The angel does not stand with the sword in its sheath, but with that sword drawn, ready to use that sword when he sees fit, and the angel is ready to slay any man that comes up against him. And there's good reason why this angel of Jehovah stands as an adversary ready to kill, because of Balaam's perverse and wicked way. Balaam went with the purpose of going out and cursing God's people. And God says, I'll stand as an adversary against you, ready to slay you and to kill you if you think that you can do my people harm. That was the wickedness of Balaam. In verse 32, when Balaam's eyes are opened to see the angel, and the angel says, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Thy way is crooked. Thy way is wicked. Thy way is evil. And God says to Balaam, I hate your way. It's the way of wickedness. It's the way of perverseness. And for it, I come out to slay and destroy you. And here we see the judgment of God, not simply with an angel of the Lord standing before threatening death, but with the angel of Jehovah who is ready to execute that sentence of death upon the evildoer. Because after all, that angel of Jehovah doesn't stand with a whip, doesn't stand with a ruler ready to hit the hand of those people who do against his will, but this angel stands with a sword. And with that sword, the angel of Jehovah will strike down and destroy and kill all those who stand in his way, striking them down with death and everlasting destruction for all their wickedness and disobedience. And concerning this angel of Jehovah, this is no ordinary angel. This is none other than the angel of Jehovah, who is the Old Testament manifestation of Jesus Christ himself. And to the wicked, and to the ungodly, to the unregenerate, to those who do not confess their sins, but walk in the wicked ways of Balaam, this angel of Jehovah represents all of God's hatred and all of his anger, and God does not let sin go unpunished, especially when the wicked would rage and vent against God's people, against God's beloved, against the church, when the wicked would heap scorn and ridicule upon the beloved of God, and then God rises up and with his sword drawn strikes down the evildoer, and so doing saves his church to the fearful and the ungodly. This angel of Jehovah is a fearful one to meet. But for us who are God's people, This angel of Jehovah is altogether beautiful and lovely because he is the one who fights for us, the one who preserves God's people and leads God's people. To us who are the children of God, this angel of Jehovah represents all of God's love and all of God's mercy and all of God's grace to us, an undeserving people. And we love this angel of Jehovah who stands up for his people and delivers us from all our enemies. And this judgment of God is a reality yet today. It's not simply a judgment that falls upon Balaam during his day and upon Balak and upon all those who were wicked back then, but a judgment of God that is a reality yet today. And there's a warning here from the Word of God. And the warning is this, that all those who go off in their own perverse ways and will not obey the Word of God become the object of God's wrath and of God's judgment. And that's Balaam, the prime example. He was disobedient. He was a lover of unrighteousness. He was blinded by his own pride and his own sin. And the angel of Jehovah comes with his sword drawn, ready to slay the evildoer. And the same holds true down throughout history. Any and every sinner who walks in disobedience to the commands of Jehovah God. Any and every sinner who is greedy for filthy lucre, who lifts himself up in pride and will not listen to the clear word of God, God says, I stand with my sword drawn, ready to slay you. And that's what God does. God may not strike down that evildoer on the spot with death, but you can be sure that for that sinful man, for that sinful woman, for that sinful child, every step of their earthly sojourn, there is the angel of Jehovah standing in the way with his sword drawn until finally that sword is thrust through the wicked and evildoer and he is condemned forever in the torments of hell. And now there's a word of warning here for us. And that word of warning for us is that the way of Balaam is the way of death. What is that way of Balaam? What does it consist of? Well, that way of Balaam consists in loving money and loving the wages of unrighteousness. And that's what happens with the wages of unrighteousness. Walking in the ways of unrighteousness will often bring a person great earthly gain. There are wages associated with that. To speak ill of God's people, to have such a high opinion of oneself whereby I am willing to exalt myself at the expense of God's people, and to do so for the praise of men, to do so for my own personal gain, that's unrighteousness. That's against the ways of God. And those are the wages of unrighteousness. That's not the way of God. That's the way of Balaam. That's the way of death. And not only does the way of Balaam consist in loving the wages of unrighteousness, but also this, the way of Balaam consists in not listening to and not obeying the word of God, the very clear word of God. God already told Balaam, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. But Balaam does not care. Balaam ignores that word of God and goes out with these princes of Midian with the exact purpose of going against God's word and doing what God said you may not do. And for us too, beloved, we ought never to ignore the Word of God and think we can do what we want, especially when we might be straying off into our own paths of sin and wickedness for a time. That happens to us all. And then when the word of the gospel is preached to us, and that word pricks us in our hearts as it always does, then people of God, don't ignore that word of God. Don't stifle that word of God. Don't set it aside. But believe and submit and obey that word of God. And even this, that when we might be straying off into paths of sin and wickedness for a time, and even when the elders might hear of it and come to us and bring us the words of God, then don't close the door to the elders and don't shove aside that word, but receive that word, obey that word, submit to that word. And if you don't, and when you walk in the ways of Balaam, he also did not want to listen to and submit to the ways of the Word of God, then know this, that the end of the way of Balaam is the end of death and of destruction. Well, for us who are the people of God, we know that we have sinned. We know there are times when we have committed evil. And we know there are those times when we have walked for a time in the wicked ways of Balaam. We hate those wicked ways. We hate those sins. And by God's grace, we confess our sins, we repent of them, and we turn to Jehovah God. But we need not fear the judgment of God, because God has dealt with all those sins. Because that very same angel of Jehovah who stands with his sword drawn against the evildoer, we now see that very same angel of Jehovah as the man of suffering, as our Lord Jesus Christ, come to this earth for us men and for our salvation, who took upon himself all those wicked ways of Balaam that linger in our hearts, and who suffered and died the death of the cross, covering all of those sins and giving unto us his righteousness. God punished all the wicked ways of Balaam in us by wielding that sword, not against us, but against his only beloved for our sakes. And therefore, we need not fear this angel of Jehovah standing in the way. We need not fear the wrath of God. Jesus suffered the wrath of God in our place. And we love him, our Lord and our Savior. And there's more of the word of comfort for us in this passage as we see this angel of Jehovah standing in the way. The comfort is this: when we ask the question, remember, what is Balaam planning to do? What is Balaam's purpose? Balaam's purpose is to go with these princes so that he may utter the word of curse upon God's people. He's going to Moab. He's going with that purpose to curse God's people. And to curse means to speak evil. For Balaam, he thought that he could get the very God of the Israelites. This isn't simply Balaam's own personal word of curse that he would speak. But the idea is that Balak is hiring Balaam to come so that the very God of the Israelites that Balaam could confess, could try and get Jehovah God himself to utter that word of curse upon his own people, with the result being that the Israelites would be weak and powerless. Balak says that to Balaam and these messengers so that then Balak could swoop in and destroy them easily and scatter them. But Jehovah God will not let that word of curse happen. And God won't let his people be cursed. And he sends the angel of Jehovah to stand in the way and to slay any man who thinks that he can raise a finger against God's people. And what we see here then is the great love and care that Jehovah God has for all of his church, for you and for me. God will not curse us. God can never be compelled by anybody else to curse us and to abandon us. Even when the devil would come and accuse us and make us think that God has left us, has abandoned us because of all those sins that we commit, and yet we do not bow before the word of the devil. We bow before the word of God, which says that God loves us with an everlasting love. He cares for us. He preserves his church. And he will not forsake his people, the people of his possession, redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are so precious to our heavenly Father, and so precious are we that if ever an enemy of ours would come against us and rise up against us and threaten to destroy us altogether, then the angel of Jehovah will stand up for us and fight for us and slay the evildoer. Such is the love of God for his church, that it's impossible for us to be cursed. It's impossible for us not to be the objects of God's love anymore. There is only blessing and love and favor. Eternal security and protection for us who are the chosen of our Heavenly Father. And after being humbled by his own donkey and having his eyes opened to see the angel of Jehovah standing in the way, Balaam is made to see and to understand that there is only one who has power in heaven and in earth, and that is not him, but Jehovah God alone. In verse 34 of this chapter, Numbers 22, Balaam says, "I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again." Take note, this is not repentance on the part of Balaam. This is only Balaam sorry that he was just about ready to be killed by this angel, and in dread fear, he is ready to turn back and to do what God tells him to do. And the angel says in verse 35, "Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shalt thou speak." And now Balaam, he understands that he doesn't have any power at all. He doesn't have any power to curse God's people. He doesn't have any power to bless the people. And later he's compelled to confess that very same thing to Balak in verse 38. In verse 38, when he finally arrives, he says, "Lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak." Now, this doesn't mean at all that Balaam's heart has changed one bit, but simply that he's compelled to acknowledge that God is the one who has all power, and that he himself has no power at all. And so what's the instruction that we learn from this? God teaches us here that he is sovereign, that he is powerful, all powerful. Balaam says, "I don't have power to do anything," which is true, which means that God has the power to do everything. God who has the power to create all things. God who has the power to deliver his people from all their sins. God who has the power and the right to and the authority to slay the evildoer. God who has the power to rise up and defend his people when the enemy attacks. God is sovereign, the one who has all power. And now it's our calling to trust in this almighty, powerful God. Not to set our hearts on the things of this earth, not to go seeking after those things that Balaam sought after, not to crave those things, money and power and fame and a reputation among men. If that's true of you and me tonight, insofar as we do seek after those things, then tonight let's get on our knees and let's confess all our sins and repent of them. But rather, let us place all our love and confidence in Jehovah God, in His love, in the multitude of His mercies to us, His people, knowing that He loves us, that He is not our adversary, that He is not our enemy, but that He is our covenant friend, our Heavenly Father, who blesses us with all the blessings of salvation. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. Bless it unto our hearts. Forgive all our sins. Humble us when we go astray. Use even very weak means to do so. But we thank Thee for the word of the gospel, which the world regards as foolishness. But when we hear that word, we submit and we obey. We thank Thee for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who has taken upon Himself the punishment of death for all our sins, and who also defends and preserves us against all our enemies. Give us the joy to know that in our Savior we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave His life for us. Deliver us from evil. Bless us in this night. Go with us in this week. We confess that in all things we are powerless and we depend upon Thee. Love us and care for us. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.